Today I'm going to give advice that's really wrong.
A lot of people have asked me, how do you work a job, then get home and have the energy to make art? And that was a problem I tried to solve for 30 years. I worked out, we'd buy beers after work, and that would buy me fake energy with all the calories to write after work. And then I would go to work the next day slightly hungover and get work to pay for my hangover. And then I'd do that. I'd have to take breaks here and there. But it didn't always look good, like for jobs. Like I'd sometimes be a bit muddled and stuff, and they could clearly tell, but I was just good enough at my job to be able to hold most of them. I worked 30 years of stupid jobs, meaningless jobs, and that's pretty much what I did. But the trouble was after that, was after I managed to create such momentum and inertia, unstoppable inertia, that so I could write my self-published books and make a small living off them, then I had to relearn how to write sober. And that was really hard. And so that was the second challenge. Now I didn't have a meaningless job and I was writing stuff that I loved full time at home. Then I had to relearn how to write sober. And so that was tricky. And so it's taken me quite some time to work that out. And now I can't write drunk. If I drink, which is rare now, I can't do it. And so that's the trouble. It can become addictive. And you can think that the only way I can write is not sober. And so that's the hard part. But so alcohol actually is demonized, and rightfully so on a lot of levels, as it is in society. Endless ads about drinking responsibly, and doctors will tell you it's bad, and the only joy that it brings is it's good for socializing or party stuff. The amazing thing about alcohol too, which no one talks about, is you can actually talk to the other part of yourself a little bit more easily for people who haven't done it. I can do it now sober as well. Like, that's how I write a lot of my stuff. I talk to myself. I ask questions aloud. It loops back through to my ears, and I hear my. And it's like there's two of me that I can talk to. But I guess I learned, with booze, it bought me the fake energy. It allowed me to write a little bit more courageously, coward's blood. And it taught me, like, there are still skills that I use from riding by the train tracks drunk. I still use a lot of those skills that I learned while drunk in my sober riding, and learning to stagger into interesting areas in my riding rather than just walk in straight lines. I'm not going to find an interesting door walking in straight lines. You have to kind of stumble and stagger your way through riding. So a lot of that, I do that sober now in my head, which is fun. But a lot of people will go, oh, you can't do that. You can't drink. They're the kind of people who will hold their breath for an entire life before dying. There's that interest. There's the goodness. There are good, really useful things about booze that aren't talked about. Like, the ancient Persians would pass laws in a state of both sobriety and drunk. And these days, booze, for especially for the people between 20 and 40, the ones who are trapped in the jobs, they won't drink. It's like a big thing now, that generation. They won't drink. And I suspect, while it's got its health benefits, it's also they won't do it because they don't want to look shitty on social media and the vanity of selfies and all that sort of stuff. This weird new culture of wanting to look fresh-faced and all that sort of shit. And I often look stupid on my videos, but maybe it's because I'm of that age. I don't know. You look into places where no one's looking, and you can often find really fascinating, interesting solutions. The places that the culture will tell you that's wrong, that your peers will tell you it's wrong, that institutions and government and all that will tell you wrong. You're looking interesting places, and you can often find a really interesting solution that's been either that's often been sort of outcast or shamed or something, and you can find something interesting. But now I write full time. The hardest thing now for me is if I focus and worry too much on money, money won't happen. So I focus on creativity, and if I focus on that, the money happens. But if I focus too much on creativity, then the creativity doesn't happen, which means the money doesn't happen. So I've got to give myself permission to just fuck up and mess up and stagger and stumble around again. And so those are the lessons that I've taken with me, the positive sides of being drunk. I've learned that I've got to take those leaps of stupid courage into interesting places to make the whole cycle refresh and renew itself again. But yeah, it's a question it seems to be in the zeitgeist, or however you say it at the moment. Like, where do you find that energy? And often enough, also, that's just one way of finding energy. That's what I did, and it worked. It took a long time, and it felt like I was putting the broken cart before the lame horse, before the edge of the cliff, and hoping it would fly. And often I fell off that cliff with my weird process to break out and flip the script on working meaningless jobs and buying a second life after work to keep going and write good stuff. Because I knew that if whatever money I was earning in the jobs at the time, that would be one day vanished money in my bank account 10 years from now. But I knew whatever I was writing at night would last. It would be there 10 years later, and it would end up being in a book. And I feel like I've said before, I could close the book and open the sky. But that anything I did was like a waste of time, I felt, in those jobs. And so, yeah, I'm just glad that I managed to, flip it. It was heavy. It took me 30 years. A lot of people do that more quickly. But I find the people who manage to get out of the meaningless jobs and end up in there in interesting artistic places early on, they end up disappearing faster. So I've seen a lot of artists come and go who are the next big thing by the time they're mid-30s, and they're completely gone by the time they're 40, 45. It wasn't truly in them. And for me, good art needs to grow between the cracks and through the concrete. Otherwise, it's just an artificial garden on some artificial life support system. And the audience can smell that. That's not powerful art. And I kind of feel once you pass the age of 40 and you're still making art, that separates the weirdos from the truly crazy. And it's the truly crazy who end up making the best stuff. And you don't know if you're going to make it, and you might be stuck just being seen as a crazy person with no art to defend your craziness. And I kind of feel like that's how I feel. Like, after I hit 40, I was just crazy. People just went, oh, you're not a weirdo, you're actually crazy, you're still doing this shit. And I had nothing to show for my craziness. And I thought, I've gone too far now. I'm just going to keep doing it. I've got too far, and I've got nothing to show or defend my craziness. And it's only in the last two or three years that I've got, finally, see, this is what I've been doing. Now, it just took 30 years to actually grow some nice fruit. And yeah, as my brother said to me not long ago, he's quite weird as well, but he's a primary school art teacher, but he always made the sensible decisions, bought property, saved hard, worked hard, all that sort of stuff. I did too, but it looked like on the surface that I was just doing nothing with my life, but I wasn't. I was doing what I was been talking about the entire time. But he said to me the other night, he was a bit drunk, and he said, "Darby, you're actually really shrewd and smarter than I thought you were." He was drunk, so I didn't take it offensively. And I said, "Yeah, I've been working under the cover of night and digging my way out of jail for 30 years. I've been trying to do something impossible, and it's just happened to pay off in the last year or two." And when I said that about my brother as well, like, that's the thing about creativity. For me, it was a 30-year humiliation ritual where, to everyone who I knew, they couldn't take me seriously. Like, I had to appear to look like I was doing nothing and wasting my life for 30 years. And the credibility that you get from these people just complete, it's in the toilet. And so I knew what I was doing. So against the will of at least 5 to 10 people that I knew, you have to kind of battle against that, no one's going to believe in you. No one believed in me. Everyone thought I was nuts. Even my mum, who was a bit of a tripper, she thought, why'd you leave that job? Why are you doing this? Why? Oh my God. They're all worried. And that's the thing. Like it also separates the weirdos from the genuinely crazy. Because there's a lot of weirdos and they all want to be artists and they kind of wear the costume of being a bit of a weirdo and a kook until they're about 35 and then they all just suddenly just grow up and they disappear. And it was just all pretend. And you have to actually be crazy. It separates the crazy, the genuinely crazy from the weirdos. And you have to move into be crazy without any armor to defend that humiliation of being crazy. That's the hardest thing. That was harder than improving at creativity and having that time to improve at creativity was almost being defenseless, a defenseless crazy person, or being seen as that. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that, how I sort of broke out of that thing. If you'd like to leave a review on Spotify or Apple, or if you leave a comment on YouTube, I'd love it.